They called him the Hammer. That was his nickname. He used to, you know, he used to put a lot of seats, people in the seats, apparently, because as soon as they dropped the puck, he'd just grab somebody and start feeding them, you know. And he was drunk on the ice a lot, is the stories I hear. You know, he'd put a 40 down before the game. They'd go out, drop the puck, and he'd just go toe-to-toe with somebody. And apparently he wasn't a very good fighter. He got beat a lot, but the crowd used to love it.
You know the difference between hockey and those other sports? You gotta be tough to be a hockey player.
I idolized Dominic Kashuk. I played goalie because of Dominic Kashuk. My life in hockey has been started because of Sabres hockey. I didn't need playoffs this year. I wanted it, but I didn't need it. But when you screw up for the fans as much as the team has over the last, like, 5 years, and just don't hold yourself accountable, I'm sorry. I'll hang up and listen. I'm sorry.
Welcome to Two Goalies, One Mic, an in-depth look and behind-the-mask conversation about the greatest game on earth, where everything goes and nothing's off limits.
Now I'll tell you something about this guy.
This is only 3 minutes, eh?
Whammo!
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 32 of Two Goalies, One Mic. I'm Johnny Cullen, joined alongside, as always, Dwayne Steinel. Dwayne, how we doing, bud?
Great, man. Victory Monday for the Bills, 2-0. They squish the fish. Josh Allen, only quarterback in Bills history to ever throw for 400 yards and 4 touchdown passes in one game. It's been a good Monday, man. Let's keep these wins going.
Yeah, the Bills have been impressive. It's a sight for sore eyes, and love to see Josh Allen kind of prove those naysayers wrong. But back in the hockey world, no shortage of things for us to talk about. Outside of the Stanley Cup being underway, Dallas comes out with a convincing Game 1 victory, and we got Game 2. We're recording this Monday afternoon, so we got Game 2 tonight. That'll be a big one. I'm kind of conflicted, Dwayne, because the Dallas is the loss to the Stars with a no goal still kind of rooted in my heart. So I find it hard to root for them. But then also, I don't know why I hate Tampa Bay, or I don't hate that. I just don't want to see them win. It's a good hockey, and it's weird having the Stanley Cup this time of year. But hey, I'm not complaining. Love more hockey. Also, big news in Sabres world as we shipped out Marcus Johansson for Eric Staal, a big trade by any means, especially right now. We're not seeing a ton of moves. So, I liked it because listening to Sirius NHL channel, they were talking about it for a couple of days there. And we're going to get to that trade. Plus, Bill Guerin had a couple of interesting comments. That's the Wild GM there that shipped out Eric Staal. And then also, we're going to take a deep dive into Dwayne's free agents. You want to call it a wish list or
just to be on our radar, you know what I mean? Some guys that can really give you some bang for your buck. You know, I'm obviously the biggest name at the top of the list. Two big names are Alex Petrangelo and Taylor Hall, and they didn't even make my list. So,
well, I like that because I look at some of these free agent lists and let's be realistic, right? And it's not to say that we're not going to get some of these big name players, but those two in particular, Petrangelo is just coming off a Stanley Cup. He wants to win. And he's not going to go to, like, I heard somebody talk about Ottawa for him, and it just kind of made me chuckle a little bit because is he going to want to go to a team? He's in his, he's a 90 birth year. So he's a 30 year old, he's probably got the next 3-4 years of his best hockey in front of him. Right. And then we start to see that, slide down. So he's not going to want to go to a team like Ottawa that is, let's be honest, they're years away from even contending for a playoff spot. So I don't know. Getting into that more later, Taylor Hall would be nice to see in Buffalo. I don't think that's going to happen too, but back to my point, I think it's nice to have your list is realistic targets for us. And I liked your list. For those that didn't see it, check out our Twitter. You did a bang up job with that. But before we get to that, I want to talk a little bit about the hockey that's going on right now. Since our last episode, which I really enjoyed with Jesse, that was a he's a great guy, man. That was a fun yep. look at Vegas. It's tough because I was rooting for Vegas to pull off that win so we could keep chatting with him.
Yeah, and I think he'll still come on with us, man. He seems like he just loves hockey, not just Vegas, but he just loves hockey. So, cool. Excuse me. I think we could definitely get him on again. But I was with you. I wanted Vegas to pull that one out. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. And now we have the Dallas Stars and Tampa Bay Lightning in the finals. And we're getting ready for game two here later tonight.
Now, did you watch game one?
I did. And not going to lie, I was not impressed at all with the way Tampa came out. It looked rough.
Yeah, they did look flat. And for a team that, you know, comes out and, you know, they played well in that New York Islanders series. And it's, I don't know, man, I really think that for as much shit as the Islanders get, they really, it looked like they wore down Tampa a bit, you know?
You just took the words out of my mouth, Cully. You know, I feel like really they grinded the Lightning down quite a bit, you know, with that tough, you know, Barry Trotz style of hockey. And, you know, it, don't make no bones about it. That was a hard-hitting series. It was physical. And Tampa really had to work for their scoring chances because they play very well defensively, you know, as far as not giving up too many, you know, high-danger scoring chances for, like, right in front of the net. You know, they kept a lot of everything to the outside from points. But with that being said, you had all that time, a lot more time to prepare. I'm not just saying a lot more time. They have more time to prepare for the finals than Dallas did. And, I mean, you came out flat, like you said. You know, you have more star power in Tampa. You have, in my opinion, and I know we'll go back and forth with this, but you have better goaltending in Tampa. You shouldn't – I'm not saying it should have been a pushover, easy victory in game one, but you should have came out better than that. That was tough to watch.
Yeah, and you know what? We talk about Dallas as – to be honest, like I said at the top of the episode, the diehard Sabre fan in me goes back to 99, and, like, I have tough time rooting for him, but I like the way they play. I'm a big Tyler Seguin fan, even though he embarrassed me every time we played against each other. Jamie Benn, I love the way he's what I would want to captain. He's not flashy, but he's hard on pucks, man. He's tough to play against. He's mm-hmm. got a great beard. So
he's got great,
you know,
he's
what
got though, some great whiskers.
Yeah, he does. Great mug on him. But you know what? It was fun to see the Stars get some secondary scoring. Who was it? Hanley, I think, gets the goal. Joel Hanley, you know, opens up the scoring. Yeah. And I didn't even know who this guy was. And that just goes to show you, you know, the unsung heroes on this team. We saw it with who was the hero there in game seven? Joel Kiravanta.
Yep.
Coming against the Avs. So outside of your Seguins, your Heiskanens, your Jamie Benns, they've been very good. And I'll tell you what, man, Alexander Radulov, love him. You know, he's one of those guys you hate to play against him, but yep. you love when he's on your team. I forget what his nickname was. They were calling him the Creature or the Bear or something hilarious. But he is just – he plays hard, man, and he's been good for them. Picked up an assist to get in the score sheet in game one. Jason Dickinson coming through with a goal. You know what? You're looking at the box score, man. There's 12 guys with points in this game, and that's just a sign of them, you know, getting contributions from up and down their lineup, which is good to see if you're a Dallas Stars fan. Other than that, you know, you look at the goaltending. I think it was the third goal by Vasilevsky, which is probably the only weak goal I can remember him letting
yep.
in this
six goal.
Yeah, and those are any goalie knows, Dwayne, that, like, you hit the nail on the head. Those six-hole goals are frustrating. For those not they're familiar with the term, the six-hole is the space between your arm and your body, and they're frustrating, Dwayne, because, you know, they're goals that you're in position for that, you know, should be easily sealed, but sometimes when we get active with our hands, you know, we get a little too horny, as I like to say. And
yep.
it's a frustrating goal to give up. What is your breakdown been on the goaltending?
You know, with the six-hole stuff, you know, as a coach, you know, I wish I had this more as when I was playing. The idea is always to keep your hands out and in, elbows in, hands out. Like you said, I think, you know, Vasilevsky, I can't, was it deflected? Was it partially? I can't remember. Actually, I don't think it was deflected at all.
No, I don't think so. I think there was some traffic, but I don't think it was deflected.
Yeah, it did come through traffic. But, you know, that's a shot, especially with a guy of his size. You got to have that. And, you know, he definitely had his hands backed up a little bit. Glove was a little active, and he just opened himself up to let that in. And you could see it in his face, the reaction right after. He's like, oh, God. We've all done that, Cully, that reaction where he's like, I can't believe that just went in. And you can't, especially when you've played the way he has throughout the playoffs, to come into the finals and let a softball like that in. Yeah. Can happen in game one. Game one, it really sets the tone for the series. And now you're playing from behind. You got to come out and make a statement tonight. And I don't know, man. You can't come out flat like that again.
Yeah, and you know what? John Cooper came out and said it. You talk about Stanley Cup game one, something we've all dreamed of as kids. You know, it's hard to imagine not being able to get up and being ready to play. But worth noting that Dallas had 4 days off, 4 days in between, you know, four days off between their last game and the start of that. The Lightning had 1 day off. At this level, it's hard to imagine, you know, that being an excuse. But I think one thing it's easy to overlook is this bubble. It's got to be taxing. And I think you see the effect
of the bubble on players.
You see all the videos of guys going home. And seeing their family and how happy they are, even though they just lost, but how heartwarming those videos are. Like, fuck, man, I can't imagine being away from my family to play in this. So, I mean, I think that goes to show, you know, kudos to all these players that are away from their families, chasing the ultimate prize. And here's a good quote from John Cooper about Tampa Bay's start. I don't even know if you need to take a shower after those first two periods. They came out, they were skating, and I think we probably dipped our toes in the water a little bit and watched them skate around. So, I mean, there goes the show. That's Tampa Bay's coach calling their effort out. I don't want to say effort, their execution. They weren't ready to play. Dallas was. And in a momentum game, game one in the Stanley Cup, that's all you need. I wanted to ask you, too, Khudobin, another great job since the beginning of the Western Conference Finals. 954 save percentage. When you look at Tampa Bay in that game, they really poured it on the third. It's the old adage, too little, too late. They had a 43-3 edge in shot attempts in that third period, Dwayne, but not enough to solve Khudobin more than once.
Nope.
What are your thoughts on his game?
It is an anomaly. You know how Khudobin's kind of – I don't want to say come out of nowhere. Actually, I want to correct the mistake. I did have that mixed up earlier with time in between games. I had it mixed up between Tampa and Dallas. Dallas had more time. So just correct myself, had a little brain fart there. But, you know, it is kind of like an anomaly how Khudobin's kind of come on the scene and just really taken the league by storm here in the playoffs and played as well as he has. And I'll give credit where credit's due. I think he may have – he's played so well, I think he's almost played himself out of Dallas because he's going to expect – he's a UFA, and he's going to expect a decent paycheck coming out of this season. So I think even after this, I think he's played his last game from Dallas even. That's how good he's played. With that being said, there were a couple saves there he made where he was all over the place. I forget who it was against. The puck popped up in the air, and he brought his stick down. He almost caught it with his arm and brought it down to the ice and covered it up. It looked like a sure goal. The guy is just playing with a type of desperation that the whole Lightning team was playing with in game one. And, you know, it just reminds me a lot of Dom out there even. Whatever it takes to stop a puck.
He made a couple saves, and I think it was the against Vegas, we were talking to Jesse about it, and it screamed Dominic Kashuk all over to me. It's unbelievable. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I completely
agree. No, it's fine. It's fine. It just, like I said, it reminds me a lot of Dom, and not that they're saying they're throwing out two pad jammers left and right, but you know, it's just that never give up on a play, never give up on a puck, just playing with absolute desperation, and it's been like that since the start of the playoffs for him. Again, I think that he's the best goalie in the series. No, I think Vasilevskiy is clear as day, the better goaltender. But Khudobin is playing like it. You know, he wants it more. You know, Khudobin doesn't let that third goal in. He doesn't. You know, he's in the zone. Could that also be in part because, you know, the shot attempts and shots on net were very low for Dallas in that game. I think there was only 19 total. And we, you and I both know as goalies, Cully, those games where you're not getting a lot of action, it's tough to keep your head in the game. Maybe that's what happened with Bass there. I don't know. But it is troubling to see a goal like that go in game one of the Stanley Cup Finals.
And you know what? He's been red hot. Vasilevsky's been arguably, you know, me and you went at it last episode. Who would you rather have in a big game? And, you know, when I talked to you after the episode, because Vasilevsky's the better goaltender. But right now, that's where my argument came in. Right now, who's playing better? But it's still a coin flip because outside of that game, game one, Vasilevsky's got a .933 save percentage over the 16 yep. games. But he did. He looked off. He just didn't look like himself. You mentioned it. 3 goals allowed on 19 shots. And in the Stanley Cup, in a game like, especially game one, both teams were feeling each other out. You need that save. You need that save to hold your team in it and give them a chance. But I want to ask you this. Did you see Tampa was down 3-1 at this point. And in the second period, Pat Maroon shoots the puck into Dallas's bench.
Yeah.
Gets a 10-minute misconduct. Yeah. That was tough, man.
That's a terrible, especially from a vet like him. You can't do that.
Well, you know what? Maroon's been good for Tampa. We talk about the difference between them getting swept by Columbus last year and making it to the finals this year. What's been the difference? And to me, it's simple. You have, you know, your best players are your best players, but you have this infusion of a little bit more grit. You know, Blake Coleman has been undercover one of the breakout stars of this playoffs. He can play on my team any day of the week. I would love for the Sabres to grab him. But he's somebody that, you know, going into this year, you know, not a household name. He's played his way into the minds of 32 NHL GMs. But a guy like Maroon, same thing. He's brought, you know, much needed grit, toughness, and Stanley Cup winning experience to this team. And in a 2-goal game in the second period with still time left, you can't let your emotions get the better of you. He does that. It's taken off for 10 minutes. And you know what? Tampa Bay was able to bounce back with their play, but not where it counted on the scoreboard. So it'll be real interesting to see what type of team we see show up here in the game two. I want this series to go to distance. It's kind of dawning on me that we're running out of hockey. So I'd love to see Tampa pull out a win here just because I feel like, hey, you go down 2-0 in the Stanley Cup, that's daunting hole to come back from.
And you know what? It was actually reported this morning, early afternoon, right around 1 o'clock by Emily Kaplan from ESPN, that Steven Stamkos was on the ice this morning with the Tampa Bay Lightning. He did skate with them, and they have not ruled him out yet for game two.
You know what? It's interesting you bring that up because every day I'm listening to Sirius, and it's like Stamkos has talked about every day. Hey, is he in? Is he, you know, has he been skating? You know, he hasn't been skating with the team, so out comes the news that he's there. What's one area that Tampa Bay could really use help on? The power play. And we all know that Stamkos' office, you know, right there on the, I call it the honey hole, you know, the top of the circle, he's known as being a power play performer. And it's interesting, Dwayne, because they have gone 0-14 in their last 4 games. And they had big power play chances in game one that they biffed it on. So that's 28 minutes of the power play with nothing to show for it.
Yeah. Even if you're playing Stamkos for what 12 minutes a night, and you make him more of a power play specialist guy, that helps you immensely. If you can just improve that, if you can go from being 0-14 to say 4-5 or 5-14, I mean that's probably a win or two for you with having Stamkos there, you know, with that hard shot of his. So, you know, I'm hopeful that he plays, you know. Even at 75%, I think he helps that lineup immensely. He's their leader. He's their captain. He brings different intangibles to the ice that aren't there right now. Even though you have such a potent lineup with guys like Point, Kucherov, Cirelli, Hedman, he's all gamers. But, you know, you add a guy like Steven Stamkos to that lineup with how well they've played so far without him, you know, I think that would be something that could possibly put them over the edge as far as winning or losing this series.
It's funny you said the 75% Stamkos, because teammate Blake Coleman, guy who I was just pumping his tires, might be listening to the show. No, he came out and he said an 80% Stamkos, an 80% Stammer is better than most players in this league. And you guys are both absolutely right. And it's funny, you mentioned, you know, maybe just throwing him out there for the power plays. Hell, 6 minutes of Steven Stamkos on the power play could be the difference in this series. And that's something that it's worth exploring. John Cooper, when asked about it, said, I know it's killing him more than anyone else not to be in the lineup. He's inching his way closer. There's no doubt. You don't get this many chances to be where we are. A, you want to be a part of it, which he has. And he has helped the collective group with the mental thing of it. But B, he wants to be on the ice as well. And how can you not? Like you said, he's the captain in this group. He's one of the best players in the league when he's healthy. But it's been a tough stretch, man. I think it's been, what, the past 3 or 4 years, he's been plagued. What was it? I think 3 years ago, he was out for most of the season since signing that big ticket of his, which, let's mention, it's team-friendly. We talked about it last show. Mm-hmm. You know, him choosing to stay in Tampa for maybe a little bit less money than he deserved or he would have gotten elsewhere.
No taxes on it either.
Right, with the tax-free. But it'll be really interesting to see if he comes in. When they asked Julien Brisebois, the Lightning GM, he knew he wasn't going to suit up in game one, but he was hopeful that he would return in the series. How much does that mean? John Cooper said, I guess there's always a chance, but as of right now, I don't think so. That's why you've got to tune in to find out. So, Dwayne, it'll be really interesting to see if Tampa Bay continues to struggle on the power play, if maybe that influences the decision to get Stamkos in earlier than expected. So, a lot of storylines to watch. That's definitely one of them.
For sure, for sure. And obviously coming out of that, we're going to lead into the big news of the hour. For sure, it has to be Ray Cully, the deal the Sabres have made for, you know,
so
a guy like Eric.
Eric, yeah, sorry, you took the words out of your mouth. Eric Staal coming to Buffalo. We touched on it real early that we'd get to it, and here we are, Dwayne. Initial thoughts on the trade. Obviously, we send over Marcus Johansson, a straight-up deal, Johansson for Staal. It seems to me that fills the that elusive number two center that the Sabres have been clamoring for ever since they dealt Ryan O'Reilly away. Immediate thoughts, I like the trade. A little bit of pushback. People are like, oh, he's 35. What if he doesn't want to play here? Those got squashed immediately when he came out and he said he's excited, looking forward to it. And also, folks, we're not looking for, you know, a stalwart to plug that number two center for 10 years. We think we have the answer in Dylan Cousins, and with an asterisk, maybe Casey Mittelstadt. I know I say that with tongue in cheek, cheek and tongue, whatever. I'm an idiot. I'm a goalie. But we don't need him to be there for a long time. We need him to be good while he's here. And if he can fill that role for a year or two, I love the trade. What are your thoughts, Dwayne? Take it away.
Absolute home run for Kevin Adams' first trade for a couple of reasons. Obviously, since, you know, Ryan O'Reilly left in a trade that brought us a used washing machine, a first-round pick, and Tage Thompson, you know, we haven't been able to, you know, answer that issue, you know, answer the questions of who's going to be the second line center. It's so tough for me to even say O'Reilly's name. It's like fucking saying Voldemort. Like it's tough. It's tough.
Yes.
You know, it's tough. You know, it's like that trade couldn't have, we've talked before, that trade couldn't have gone worse for Buffalo. Like Stanley Cup, Conn Smythe, Selke Trophy. You know, like that couldn't have went worse for us. Now we bring in a guy who has a cup. Begrudgingly, it happened in 06. I think the cup, that ring was taken right off our finger. You know, that's neither here nor there. But you're bringing a guy who has so much experience with winning in this league, winning in the playoffs, has a ring. He brings a different type of culture to this room that we haven't seen since Eichel's been drafted. And then, you know what? Hopefully, like you said, you know, he is a stopgap. But hopefully he shows guys like Dylan Cousins and Casey Mittelstadt how to carry yourself, not just on the ice, not just in the locker room, but in the weight room. Show him how to be a professional and how to succeed in this league. Because we all know how much of a twig Casey Mittelstadt has been in the last 2 years. Guy couldn't do a pull-up at the combine. Not that that matters, but it doesn't look good for him, you know. And especially with the way he's come out these past two seasons, you know, there's a lot of question marks surrounding him, especially with where we drafted him. I believe he was a top 10 pick. A lot of analysts thought it was much kind of a reach for Buffalo with Botterill when we chose him there. But, you know, the talent, though, is undeniable. The guy has filthy hands. He has a great shot. He's just so weak on the puck, and he's not strong. He's not strong at all. So hopefully a guy like him, a guy like Eric Staal in your locker room, honestly, I would stick him right in between those two. You put Eric Staal right between Dylan Cousins and Casey Mittelstadt in that locker room.
You're saying as a and, oh, you, oh, I thought you meant as a line. You're talking about just as a mentorship role sitting next to them.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, and I think you know, he could still have a positive effect on Jack Eichel. I know he's not really viewed as a rookie anymore, or a young guy, but we still can't forget that Jack's a young pro, and having a guy like Eric Staal around is only going to be helpful for him.
Absolutely. And you know what? We're not expecting it's Eric Staal to come in here and put up 60, 70 points, even though I'm pretty sure, you know, you can correct me if I'm wrong. He had
52 points in 2018, yep. And then last year he had 19 goals, 47 points in 66 games.
Yeah, so he was on pace, if you play a full season, to 60 points, right? He was on
Absolutely.
Pace.
Absolutely. He might even – he definitely would have had 20, see, knocking on the door for 25, 30 goals. So, I mean, you look at the replacement, Marcus Johansson in 60 games played had 9 goals and 30 points. We're getting back a guy that had 19 goals and 47 points. On paper, it's a no-brainer, especially when you look at the struggles that Marcus Johansson had playing center. And Eric Staal knows that's what he's here to do. In his interview, his introductory press conference, he's even quoted as saying, yeah, the center ice position is very important. Most teams that are successful have that. But to me, the biggest reason for success is a team. Like a team, you need everybody, not just the guys up the middle. You need commitment from your whole lineup, from the goaltender to the D. It's cliche and boring to say, but you don't win unless you're a team that's a tight-knit and committed success, especially in this league. It's too hard. It's too close. It's too competitive. I love that. That just gets me 6 to midnight. Hearing that, like you said, I know it's cliche, but it's different coming from a guy that's had success, that's won a cup, that's found a way to consistently be a 20-goal year guy that does the right things. He's a 200-foot player. I love it, Dwayne.
I do too. You know, when's the last time we heard a guy talk like that in this organization outside of maybe Jack? You know, you don't get leadership like that, you know, in these interviews. You don't hear rhetoric like that coming from these players. It's always so down and gruesome, you know, because of all the losing. And then you bring a guy like Eric Staal who's done so much winning in this league and said so much. He's honestly probably a future Hall of Famer. Maybe not, but maybe he doesn't make it this first crack in, but I think he eventually gets there. And, you know, not even just at the National Hockey League, you know, but at the Olympic level, you know, and, you know, in the international level, the success he's had. So, you know, bringing that guy into this locker room, again, I just can't stress it enough, you know, what type of, how much the culture is going to change with him. And you know what? Maybe bringing in a guy like Eric Staal maybe raises a couple eyebrows. I mean, I grant he's 35 years old. Don't get it twisted. His better days are far behind him, but he still can contribute for the year or two he'll be here, you know, if they decide to bring him back, you know, after his contract is up. He is absolutely a guy who can still contribute, and he might, you know, maybe sway the perception of Buffalo a different way from, you know, outsiders looking in who are looking for a team to play for in free agency.
Yeah, and moving on to that, like we said, I think it's a good pickup. I think he'll help in the short term. I'd love to see him reunited with Jeff Skinner. That maybe could get Jeff Skinner back on track. Moving into free agency, though, Dwayne, a lot of holes to fill, a lot of big names out there. I want to start with goaltending. You had mentioned Corey Crawford on your list. But, you know, this is a year where there's a lot of goaltending options to be had. What are your thoughts? Start with Corey Crawford. Why you think he's a good fit for the Sabres?
Because I think Linus Ullmark has earned his opportunity to be the starting goaltender on this team. So whoever we decide to bring in, I don't think you're asking a guy like him to be, you know, a 1A. You're asking him to be a 1B, a guy to come in and play 25, 30 games in an 82-game season. Braden Holtby isn't going to be that guy, let's be real. He's going to want to be a starter somewhere. He's not going to want to have to fight for a spot as a starting goalie. I know money talks, but I just don't see that happening. Anton Khudobin, let's be real, he's going to want to start wherever he goes next. Whether that's Dallas, again, I think he's played his way out of Dallas. I think Marc-Andre Fleury is out of, you know, on his way out of Vegas. That is an option. but I think he's going to command a little bit of a higher salary than, you know, a guy like Crawford. And with the announcement that we're planning on staying at a lower salary cap, kind of under a budget, I don't see like a guy Fleury coming here. Again, he's going to want to win. I can actually not see him going back to Pittsburgh. And other names that are out there too, you know, we have Jacob Markstrom. Jacob Markstrom is an interesting name because, you know, with Robin Leonard tentatively signing his agreement with Vegas, it's always a 5-year 25.
Yes, 525.
Yep. So that's the kind of the market that's kind of set for that position at that level. And I think I can't really say that Jacob Markstrom, do I think he's a better goalie? Yeah, I think he's a better goalie than Robin Leonard. I not taking anything from Robin Leonard, but Jacob Markstrom played absolutely out of his mind for a young and still developing Vancouver Canucks team.
So I think, keep going.
No, I think he's going to command a little bit more money than Leonard did. I just don't want to see us breaking the bank for a goalie who might not even be your 1A. That's all I'm saying.
And that's where Corey Crawford
fits into it for me.
When you talk about the internal salary cap that's going to exist within Buffalo, it hasn't been written in stone, but I think with the reports coming out about there being an internal salary cap, it makes plenty of sense to me. It sounds like something the Pegulas would do, and it sounds like something that they would do and not want it to get out. I wanted to bring these names up while we're still in the goalie position. You mentioned Robin Leonard. It looks like he'll be in Vegas for the foreseeable future. Jacob Markstrom, probably going to be too much money. And, you know, if you're looking to give Allmark a real shot to be your 1A, it doesn't make sense to bring him in. Here's my list of other guys. You got Braden Holtby, Corey Crawford, who you mentioned, okay, Anton Khudobin, all right? As I look at those three as probably the best options out there. And then you got to throw in Marc-Andre Fleury into that mix. And then the next tier for me are guys like Thomas Greece, Cam Talbot, Brian Elliott, Aaron Dell, Jimmy Howard, Craig Anderson, and Laurent Boursois. Now, that's the next group. And then you have, to make it even more interesting, Dwayne, you have guys like Darcy Kuemper, Frederick Anderson, Henrik Lundqvist that are all under contract but have been rumored to be traded. Any names there besides the one you mentioned, Corey Crawford, that jumps out at you?
I love Darcy Kuemper. I think if he's so big and so athletic. That's a guy I would 100% inquire about trading for if those rumors are true. I think Arizona would absolutely be crazy to want to trade a kid like him. I think he has a bright future in this league. There were times that this past season where Darcy Kuemper looked like a Vezina candidate goaltender.
Yeah, I had him as one of my three Vezina finalists, even though I didn't get a vote. But I thought he was very good this year.
Very good this year. So I just find it hard to believe Arizona is going to part ways with a kid like him. I've been high on him, honestly, since his days with Minnesota. You know, when he became available out of Minnesota, I wanted him.
They do have a new GM, Dwayne. And for one reason or the other, he's been wrenching. Like, I'm with you, Dwayne. I can't imagine why he would be on the trade block, but his name's popped up here and there. If he was available, would you take a shot mentioning that you want Allmark to get a chance as a 1A? Can you pass up an opportunity to bring in a guy like Kuemper, who would be probably pretty – I don't think his contract's more than $2-3 million.
No, it's not. And that is a situation where maybe you could just – kind of like the Eric Staal, Marcus Johansson thing. Like
I'm wrong. He's at $4.5 million over the next 2 years.
But still, that's a nice price for a kid as good as him. And – he honestly, and nothing against Linus, but I think he's better than Darcy Kuemper is better than Linus Ullmark. I think he's going to give you a better opportunity to win in certain games against certain teams. So yeah, you know, if Arizona's looking for some cap relief there, and if they're looking to go younger, even though Darcy Kuemper's younger or is still young, I would absolutely swing that trade. Maybe swing Linus Ullmark in a pick. And one way to Arizona to bring back Darcy Kuemper. Absolutely.
So outside of that, anybody else jump off the page yet? Yeah. The ones I mentioned.
No,
another one,
no.
Matt Murray, if he ends up a Buffalo Sabre, I'm going to find out where he lives and remind him that I beat him 6 times in junior and I'm a scrub. Okay. Pittsburgh's going to move on from him. I don't want to see him take what a guy like Marc-Andre Fleury. Would you take him for a year?
Yeah, I would take – he's unbelievable in the locker room. Again, you're bringing a different type of culture into your locker room.
That's why I think it makes sense.
So much. That would make sense to me. Again, it all depends on the money. It all depends on the money. And, you know how much is he getting paid with Vegas right now?
It's 6.5. I think the average is 7 that's a lot. The last 2 years.
That's a lot of money for a goalie, especially with a team that expects to be working under an internal budget.
Betcha, I've heard that Vegas would have to retain part of
they would.
To move him.
I'm saying like half of that salary.
Yeah, but you know what? Crawford makes sense. I don't love it the way he plays personally as a goalie coach, but you know what? There's a reason why he's in the NHL and I'm coaching 12-year-olds. Moving on, just for the sake of time, you mentioned a few more names on your list, one being Dustin Byfuglien. You wrote, Big Buff had a bad falling out with Winnipeg, but if he's healthy, he can contribute almost immediately to a team's top pairing. Good thing is, he would probably only demand a year or two to prove it, deal at a low cap hit, low risk, high reward. I agree with everything you said, except the cap hit. I don't think he'll sign for anything less than 4.5. And to me, that's probably still even low. Mysterious circumstances around why he didn't play this year. He was a late no-show to camp. Word was that, you know, maybe he wasn't healthy, but whatever it was, didn't play this year. What do you think that makes him a good fit here?
Well, again, he brings a lot of different factors that are missing from this team defensively. You know, he isn't going to take shit in front of the net. You know, he's unbelievable at carrying the puck. And again, if he's healthy, I mean, he's better than honestly any defenseman on this team right now. And that, I'm not saying that includes Rasmus Dahlin, but I mean, we just don't have those intangibles that he brings, that he would bring to this team. We're very soft defensively. There's no debating that. There really is no debating that. What? Because Rasmus Dahlin throws a hit every once in a while, and we're already down 3 goals. That makes him hard. No, absolutely not. We're soft. So. A guy like Dustin Byfuglien, I disagree with you, Cully. I really do think he's going to come on the cheap for like on a 1 year deal. You know, regardless of what he thinks of himself, a lot of people think that he walked out on Winnipeg.
What about the argument that he wants to go to a team that's contending? You know, he's already got a Stanley Cup in Chicago, but you know, it's safe to say that maybe part of the reason he was disgruntled in Winnipeg is their inability to get over that hump.
Oh, I agree. I absolutely agree. They did have that inability. They showed it again this year. But again, if you would have added Dustin Byfuglien into that lineup this year, do they get over that hump? I don't know. I really don't. You know, that it was a significant injury and surgery that he had, which I guess also contributes to, you know, him having to kind of sign a prove it deal with the team, whoever that team might be. Yeah, you're probably right. It probably would be a contending team. Or it might be a team like the Sabres, who he just has to come in and prove it with, and then go into free agency the following year and sign one last big contract, which realistically is what he wants. Like you said, he has his cup. He's shown he's had his success in the NHL. But you know, he wants that one last big deal to like every player at his age. They want to bring stability to their life and their family. You know, going into retirement. So he's going to want to sign one last big deal here. And I could definitely see him signing with a team like Buffalo just to prove it. And then possibly leaving, going somewhere else to a contending team and signing big.
So I like it. Next up on your trade, your list, we have TJ Brody. And, you know, including with him, I'm just going to list the next three so we can debate them all, because there's no doubt we'd be able to get all three. TJ Brody, Torrey Krug, Travis Hamonic. What do you Torrey like Krug there? Go ahead.
Well, Torrey Krug, absolutely. A little bit of a pipe dream, but if you're going to bring in a guy like Torrey Krug, I think that, you know, you're probably saying goodbye to Rasmus Ristolainen somewhere along the way, because he's going to cost you a lot. He's probably, you know, Torrey Krug is probably going to cost you around $7 to $8 million. And if you're expecting to improve your team offensively, which, you know, you still have that thing hanging over your head where you have to bring, you know, extend Sam Reinhart. He's not going to sign another bridge deal, and he's going to want probably around that same kind of money. So, you know, you have to ship pieces out to be able to afford it. And there's no denying a guy like Torrey Krug and how good he is. You know, was it 59? I forgot what I was. It something close to 60 points in 75 playoff games. The guy had 49 points this past season in a shortened season. You know, he would take a lot of pressure off Rasmus Dahlin to play at that elite level that we all know he's capable of doing.
Here's the thing though, Dwayne, sorry to interrupt you. He's going to want upwards of 7.25.
Yep, I agreed. That's why, again, you're probably going to have to part ways with a guy like Rasmus Ristolainen, which, I mean, let's be real. It's been rumored for how long now? And what has he done? I mean, like, all he's done here is lose. All he's done here is lose. And nothing – did he have a decent season last year? Yeah, he did. He had probably one of his better years. But, I mean, if shipping him out brings you a guy like, you know, Tori Krugman, I mean, I'm all on board. I'm all on board. Tell me where to sign. I make that happen. But again, you know, Tori Krug, again, he's gonna garner a lot of interest in free agency, and that's if the Bruins don't re-sign him.
From everything I've heard, he's got one foot out the door. Yep. In Boston, if you lose out on him, this is one that I'm a big fan of. TJ Brody. I had the chance to play against him for 2 years in junior. Listen, he's not a super sexy player in the way he plays.
No, he's not.
More like Tori Krug, but fuck, is he solid? He's you know, kind of flown under the radar somewhat in Calgary. Obviously, him opting out of the playoffs this year, doesn't mean I don't want to say it hurt the team for sure. Does it hurt his value? Probably not. Listen, he's not flashy, but he's responsible. He gets good results. He plays a hard two-way game. And you know what? He's fucking strong. We talk about, is Rasmus Ristolainen tough? Is he grit? I agree with you that he, you know what, throwing the big hit every now and then doesn't make you a hard player to play against. But with having Giordano being the offensive guy, and, you know, Brody's kind of flown under the radar there, but fuck, is he good. You know what, there is some injury concerns, but you know what, he's played really well. Especially he's shown that he can play really well with an elite partner like Giordano. What happens if you prepare Dahlin and Brody? I don't know. I'm just saying he'd be a good pickup for us and much cheaper than somebody like Tori Krug. They're predicting him to come at, you know, just over $5 million for 3 to 4 years.
Yep, but I'd say probably he would top out around 5.75. He made 4.65 this past season. If you can get him right around that number, I think, you know, I'll drive to Calgary and bring him over. I'll sneak over the border. I'll get him here. I don't care. He really brings a lot of stability to your top four. Like you said, he's not sexy. He's not flashy. But you know what? He played a lot with Giordano. He's a left-handed defenseman, yes, but he excels in the right hand, on the right side. But he can play both sides. And you know what? He's going to contribute to your first or second power play unit, which is an area where the Sabres had, like, especially with that second power play unit, that was an absolute train wreck. You know, no pun intended, train wreck sports.
I see what you did there.
Absolute train wreck last season, that second power play unit. You know, because, you know, Jack Eichel wasn't on the ice for it, so, you know, it obviously failed.
You know what? It's speaking of somebody we just talked about earlier, Eric Staal has been used on the right side primarily. In you know, Victor Olofsson occupies that in the top power play. Safe to say they won't mess with that chemistry he had with Eichel. So, you know, if you get somebody, you know, to run the top that's not Dahlin and definitely not Ristolainen, I think that, you know, a guy like him at the top with Staal on his side, you know what, that and Skinner, you know, on the other side, if he's not on that first unit, that could be sexy.
Absolutely.
So, and that makes a lot of sense to me. Just to breeze through a couple more of these, due to time, one name that popped up on your list is Mikael Granlund. And you had him at 5.75 mil. I think that's right around where he'll land, you know, for 4 or 5 years. He just hasn't worked out in Nashville. He hasn't worked out in Nashville. I think that he was playing a role. They were using him in his bottom six, and it just didn't work. I like he reminds me of another guy Derek Roy had success here. I think Granlund, an athletic writer, compared the two to Derek Roy, what he did in Buffalo. I think that's a beautiful. I don't know. I would love to see him here. Where does he fit for you, and are we able to get that done?
I personally think he's going to, you know, he – well, he – He made 5.75 this past season's cap hit. I really don't think he comes in at that because of the struggles. He hasn't had a successful year, at least to his standards and what we would expect from him since 2017, 2018, when he had 20 goals. He struggled in Nashville. I think he would fit well in here, probably around 3.5, 4 max. That's where I would pay him because of the struggles. And I think he would really fit well in your second line and your second power play. You surround Eric Staal with some talent there on the second line, and you know, chances are you're probably going to have Jeff Skinner down on the second line again this season, which I don't necessarily agree with. But if you're going to do that, you got to put as much talent on that line as possible. You know, and that's also considering that we even bring back Reinhart, because it hasn't been done yet. We don't know what the answer is there. You know, which also led me to, you know, my pick of Evgeny Dadonov too, because if Reinhart doesn't come back here, you could bring in a guy like Dadonov to be that replacement, probably at a cheaper price.
And you talk about a guy like Dadonov, obviously playing where he does in Florida doesn't get a lot of attention.
No, he doesn't.
Here's the thing, though, with a guy like Dadonov, well, here's what I'm trying to say. I like Reinhart because he's smart. He can play with Eichel. He can play in that front. But if you move him away from Eichel, he can still do his job. And I think a guy like Dadonov, you know, he's been glued to Alexander Barkov's hip over his career, right? And one stat that jumps out at me is his points per 60 minute when he's with Barkov is 2.44. Awesome, right? That's incredible. But when he's without Barkov, he's not with him, it drops down to 1.77. Listen, no doubt there's going to be a drop in production, playing with an elite center to not playing with one, but that's more of a dip than I'd like to see. So if he doesn't fit with Jack Eichel, if the chemistry is not there, you're taking a big risk in bringing him on in his contract, and it might not work out. What makes you think that Dadonov could be a good fit here in Buffalo?
Well, he's just, again, he's played with Barkov. You know, but he's also put up at least 25 goals the past three seasons on an underwhelming Florida Panthers team. He's very skilled, don't get me wrong. And he doesn't have to play in your top line, in my opinion, to excel. Like, if you're still getting 20 goals out of him on your second line, I still say it's a win. But again, that's all contending of whether or not you're able to bring back Reinhart, because, the other guys that are available, at least in free agency, I just don't see being able to fill the hole that Reinhart would, even Dadonov, that Reinhart would leave, especially on that first line. Maybe a guy like Mike Hoffman or Taylor Hall, obviously, but Taylor Hall is going to cost you more than Reinhart.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't see us being in the market for Taylor Hall.
Neither do I.
Oh, same reasoning why I don't think we'll be in the market for a Petrangelo. It's sad because when the Pegulas first took over, you know, they said that they would spend to the cap and bring a cup here to Buffalo. They've done an outstanding job with the Bills, but also a big reason why they've been successful with the Bills is they hit the jackpot with their coach and their GM they signed. What's the big difference between the two franchises? Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean have had time and resources to make, you know, their project a reality. Whereas the Sabres have gone through four different people calling the shots. And this is why I think the average – I'm not saying I'm an above-average sports fan, but the average sports fan in Buffalo that, you know, is clamoring for guys to get fired so quickly, listen, whether they deserve it or not, it's tough because each executive has their own plan, their own vision, and you don't see that in a year's time. The frustrating part about this musical chairs going on in the Sabres front office – whether they were warranted firings or not, is that you never have time to see these plans through. And you see that in a lot of these draft picks that don't get retained and don't get signed outside of their, you know, even their entry-level deal, or they don't even sign an entry-level deal. So I'm hoping that, you know, Kevin Adams can break that mold. And, you know, he's been one of the Pegula's favorites. This is be a big offseason for him, Dwayne. And it'll be telling to see how he approaches it. The tricky part here, you throw the wild card in the mix, which is the economic impact of COVID-19. How will that affect his spending? And is it fair to evaluate him solely on maybe him trying to juggle these balls while being handcuffed, right? That's the analogy I come up with. Any players that I didn't mention that you could see in a Sabres uniform that makes sense for us and for them?
Well, begrudgingly to you, Tyler Toffoli, for sure.
Hey, listen, I would go up to him with that picture of him going shelf on me and ask him to sign it, okay? If he can help us win, I like him.
You know, and you know what, Tyler Toffoli, he played very, very, very well in Vancouver. A lot of reports coming out of there say, like, especially back when we spoke to Harmon Dial from The Athletic in Vancouver, he even said that there's a lot of interest in keeping him in Vancouver, which, if that does happen, they are in cap trouble, and there's one name coming out of Vancouver that's been thrown around quite a bit the past couple of months in Brock Besser. Does he become available? And if he does, I don't know how you're Kevin Adams and you don't get on the phones with Vancouver and try and swing a deal there, because they do need help defensively. And whatever you think about a guy like Rasmus Ristolainen or not, you package him and bring back a guy like Brock Besser, even with the injury issues that is bad. He's still going to contribute to this lineup if he stays healthy.
Yeah, you know what? Toffoli really kind of had a resurgence, for lack of a better word, coming into Vancouver. A lot of people at the trade deadline were scratching their heads at that move. Boy, oh boy, did it pay off. He found immediate chemistry with Elias Pettersson. He came in. You know what, guys? He's always had a ton of potential. Even when I played against him, you know, he put up something like 100-some points in junior. He's had experience on a winning team, you know, being a rookie, winning the cup. He's played with some great players. You know, he's in that $5 to $6 million range, which I think is, you know, a good – listen, if he can consistently score 25 goals, play in your top six, be a power play guy, I like it. But it comes down to this. Would you rather have Toffoli or would you rather have Reinhardt? I personally would rather have Reinhardt, but like that doesn't mean anything in this. Let me ask you this. If you could have one of the two, who are you picking?
Oh, I'm taking Reinhardt just because we know what we're getting out of him, because we've seen him. But again, we've also seen a lot of losing under Reinhardt. But there is no reason, having said that you can't have both. Remember, it has to be pieces going out to bring him here. That means salary leaving us and salary coming back in. So if you have, I forget what a guy like Ristolainen makes. I think it's like $4.5-5 million a year. You're sending that to Vancouver and you're bringing back, yeah, you're probably bringing back a pricier Brock Besser. But I mean, I think we can afford that, especially since we just, that was the biggest thing, is we just shed cap space with that Eric Staal deal. Eric was making less than Marcus, and you saved yourself about $1 million to $1.25 million against the cap.
Well said. You did a hell of a job on this breakdown. For anybody that didn't catch it, it's on the @2Goalies1Mike Twitter page. Dwayne, we got some great hockey coming up, and I got to get this out of you. I know we're going to do another episode here, hopefully before the cup is awarded. So all that we need to happen is one Tampa Bay win. I think it's safe to say that'll happen. But if it doesn't, what is your prediction here, not only for tonight's game, but going forward? And let's see how wrong we're going to be, because I think I'm 0-7 on predictions so far. I got Tampa Bay clawing their way back in with this win. And then Dallas taking a 3-1 series lead and winning finally in six. That's my way too early and definitely wrong prediction. What do you got tonight?
I'm going to take Tampa. I think it's going to be a low scoring game, like a 2-1, 3-2 game. I don't think Stamkos will play. I think we would have heard by now if he was or if he wasn't.
I think he's definitely out for tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. But if he did come this close to playing in game two, I think we'll probably see him in game three or four. But for sure, guys, I think we're going to see Tampa come out with a fire lit under their ass. They're going to come out. They're not going to come out flat like they did in game one. And you're really going to see just that elite talent they have on display tonight.
Yeah, and it'll be fun to see, man. I'm looking forward to it. And you know what? I just don't want hockey to end. We've been blessed with some great hockey in the bubble. And it's a damn shame the Sabres couldn't be a part of it. You talk about, what, 0.02 points of win percentage that, you know, Montreal was able to – look what that did for Montreal's fan base, you know, and it kind of jump-started. I don't even want to call it a rebuild, but it gave them hope that they're closer than farther – they're closer to being there than farther away from it. So, you know what, interesting to see. Great episode with your free agent breakdown. And you know what? Welcome to Buffalo, Eric Staal. I think that, like we talked about, he's not the long-term answer, but I was very nervous that we would make the same mistake with Cousins that we did with Mittelstadt, rush him into a bad situation. You know, we want guys to have a winning mentality. This allows Cousins, you know, not to be rushed into that second center spot. But if he does play in the National this year, you know, him to get his feet wet before being thrust into that. So I like the Eric Staal deal. So it's a positive step for us in the right direction. And, you know, it's encouraging to see Kevin Adams' first deal to be something like this that gives us reason for optimism. Any final thoughts from you, Dwayne?
No, you kind of hit the nail on the head there. I do want to make two quick points before we end the show. I did make a promise to a girl named Megan on Twitter that I would mention her cousin, Noah Dugas, in our show. He's currently dealing with, he has a blood clot in his brain. I believe he's about 12 years old. He has a blood clot in his brain, lost all mobility in his arms and legs, and is currently in rehab. I just want to let him know and let Megan know that you're in our thoughts and prayers, and that, you know, we hope you get through this and a couple clicks for you. For sure, that you get through this, and you'll be back on the ice sooner rather than later. You're a warrior, kid. And of course, I did shortly after the show, I'll be announcing the winner of the Team Two Goalies One Mic pet. Our team pet, Cully. I don't know if you caught that at all.
I did. You know what's great? My dad actually saw it first, and he's all about it, Dwayne. Tommy's a big fan of it. I know he's eagerly awaiting the announcement here too. So I love it.
Yep. And you know what? I think it's going to come down to me asking the fans to take a vote on it, because we got some really good submissions, and there are two dogs in particular I'm having a tough time with. So I might leave up to you guys, the fans, to make that decision.
I love it, Dwayne. I absolutely love it. No better way than to get the fans involved, man. They good response to that, man. That's fun to see.
Absolutely. And can't wait again to watch some hockey tonight. And we got the draft coming up soon in October. The Sabres are sitting pretty at 8. Will they make the pick? Will they trade it away? Who knows? We'll see.
Awesome. We look forward to our next episode. We may be talking about who the Stanley Cup champion is. Hopefully, we're gearing up for a Game 5, Game 6 showdown. But, you know, for everybody here at Two Goalies, One Mic, I'm Johnny Cullen for Dwayne Steinau. This has been episode 32 of Two Goalies, One Mic.
This podcast is brought to you by Better Biscuit. Better Biscuit is a hockey training tool designed to help you develop your game. These fiberglass reinforced pucks are developed to handle less than perfect surfaces, enabling hockey players of all ages to practice their skills in their driveway, basement, or schoolyard, honing their skills whenever and wherever possible. It comes in two different styles. The Better Biscuit Sniper helps players develop forehand, backhand, one-touch, saucer, drop passing, and shooting, ideal for perfecting those toe drags, puck control, and stick handling. The other option is the Better Biscuit Passer. The passer will help you develop softer hands and help you become more accurate with your passes and stick handling. Will also help you improve your puck possession confidence for any skill level. Be sure to check out Better Biscuit at betterbiscuit.net for all your hockey training needs. Thanks again for all your support, and be sure to check out Better Biscuit. Now back to the show.
This podcast is brought to you by Mitt's Barbershop. Created and owned by a true friend of the program, Justin Gritsky. Mitz is a modern-day barbershop that provides a cool atmosphere featuring some of the greatest barbershops Buffalo has to offer. Come in, enjoy a free beer, play some video games, and get the best haircut in the area. When I asked Justin what sets Mitz apart from the evil chain super-duper cuts that we see at every intersection, his answer says it all. My vision was to create the only true barbershop in Cheektowaga. When customers walked in, I wanted them to get that feeling they got when they strolled into the barbershops of old, the golden era of what a barbershop meant, not just a place to get your hair cut. So if you're looking for the real deal, come on down to Mitz to get the real feel of what a true barbershop is and what it's supposed to be. the clear-cut top dog for all your haircutting needs, look no further than Mitt's Barbershop. And when you mention that two goalies and one mic sent you in, receive $5 off your haircut that day. Talk about customer service at its finest. Located at 3461 Genesee Street in Cheektowaga, it is located right next door to the 33 Speakeasy Bar and Grill. Their phone number is 868-1424, and their hours are Monday, 12 to 6, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. On Saturday, they're open from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. and closed on Sundays because why not? Everybody deserves a little Sunday fun day. I want to finish this ad read off by reading a great testimonial from one of Mitt's loyal customers. Tired of the cookie cutter salons trying to get your attention? Also tired of those men focused salons? Then when you leave, you feel like you just visited a Supercuts for men and the haircut isn't any better? Then Mitt's is the place for you. Great cut, very professional, great atmosphere. A great place for men to get cut and trimmed up. I'm honestly a little sad I'm only visiting Buffalo because I need something like Mitt's back home. You heard it here first. Come on down to Mitt's for a great cut and an even better experience. We're happy to have them as a sponsor to the show, and we hope you join us in finding out what makes Mitt's just so special. Thanks again to Justin and all the hard work him and his staff do. And without further ado, we'll kick it back to Two Goalies, One Mic.
Hi, I'm Connie Thiessen, the host of Broadcast Dialogue, the podcast. We focus on Canada and the challenges facing Canadian radio and TV, as well as highlighting those moving the industry forward from podcasting and streaming to new broadcast tech. Check us out at BroadcastDialogue.com or your favorite podcast app.
Come on, let's go to the Blue Hole. I wanna live at the Blue Hotel.
The podcast that goes everywhere the imagination dares. It's for the open-minded, the pleasure seeker. It's Jeff Woods with the new podcast about relationships and sexuality, theme-based with special guests, the Blue Hotel Hotline, and every episode climaxes with an adult bedtime story. Get a room and listen in at the Blue Hotel. Begins Friday, September 23rd.